Hi Sandra, you asked me to talk a bit about the spine, and my first response was, what can I say about that? But I know that within me, at a deeper level, everything of it connects. And I know that it's like making nylon. You have this pot of soup with these polymers, and then you put a needle in it and you start pulling, and out comes this thread, which becomes longer and longer and longer until the pot is empty. And in this case too, when I connect to spine, there are quite a number of things which fall in place. And of course, the first bit of spine, for where I would look at it in me, in us, is how does the spine form? And then after looking at the spine formation in us, in what's called the notochord, I'll come back to that. We can then also see that the spine is the ivory tower, which is at the core of our body palace, and that at the top of the ivory tower, of course, we live in the skull, which is part of the spine. Evidently, the arms and legs are made of ivory too. They are extensions of the spine. And when we look at the spine within us, and as I presented it in the Living Body Anatomy course, you can see that in us we have a spine and limbs and a skull, which is different from that of, say, a deer. Because the deer doesn't have the hand and the feet. And then that is again different from, say, a fish, which doesn't have the arms and legs in that way. They do have them, but as fins. And that's different yet again from, let's say, the jellyfish. So when we look at spine, we're actually looking at something which, like a coat hanger, in all kind of life forms. And when we look at that coat hanger in the different life forms, from the jellyfish to the stick insects to the blowfish and so on, we can also see that in our body we actually have a bit of all of that, because when you look at our spine, we have these oars or sticks that we can row the ocean of life with, which we call the arms and the legs. And we also have these the arms and legs, a bit like the paddles with the feet and the hands. But we also have the head, which is like the ostrich egg. And we also have the rib cage and the hips, which are like cradles, and we have the spine, the vertebral column itself. So there are lots of associations with spine, also connected, of course, with spineless. And when people say spineless, they sort of often imply something like weak-willed or unable to make up your own thoughts, which is funny, because if you look at the octopus, which is a very much spineless creature, they have done these amazing experiments of octopuses in mazes, and then it turns out that they are very clever. They really know how to navigate. They know very well where they are, and they can move through, let's say, a hole the size of what you would have between your thumb and your index finger. And that this whole creature in that way is very flexible because being spineless. But it is not weak because of being spineless or due to being spineless. So there is quite a bit to look at when we talk about spine. And maybe it's easiest to build it up with that starting point for the notochord within us and also outside of us. How did spines and carapaces develop in life forms, and how do the spines and carapaces in animals relate to what we have in plants, and how does that relate to, say, the seeds or the germs, which then brings us back to the microbes, the virus, the fungus, and the spores. And in a way, we then also have the connection between the spine as the structural element, which it is often considered to be, to the relation between the proteins in our body, which are, say, the structural molecules, which are different from the enzymes, which are the chemical or the digestive, the enzymatic molecules, say, more the physiology, which are yet different from the hormones, which are the communication or the messenger molecules, which are electromagnetic, which of course has to do with the neuronal system, hormonal system. And that of course also connects to the molecules which work with the light, the pigments. And in our body we can of course see that we have the physics of the protein, the chemistry of the enzyme, the electromagnetism of the hormones, and the photonics of the pigments all together. So when we look at the spine, we need to connect that to the physical, to the chemical, to the electromagnetic, and to the photonic. And then the spine, of course, connects to, in one part, yes, it is a structural element. It's calcium aspartate, and it has structural qualities in there. It has a relationship between phosphorus and calcium in there, but it also has these other elements in there which it needs, because if you look at it from the electromagnetic level, then the material that the spine and all the bones are made of is electromagnetic responsive. It is a transistor like material, and when you have an electromagnetic field around it, then the spine can be formed, for the simple reason that the spine is formed by the spongio-formed materials, which are the trabeculae. It's like a sponge, the shape of a sponge, and the shape of Gothic cathedrals inside of the bone. And it's all beautifully smooth and beautifully shaped, but it's all formed by the bone cells that live inside of it. So we cannot just look at the spine without looking at the cells that produce the spine and the cells that live there. And that's also where we then need to see that there is the relationship between the head, the heart, the hara, and the holy bone, in which the head connects to the sensory system or the consciousness system, let's call it the most human bit of us, and the heart has to do with the circulation, which is also the internalization of the climate within us, which is what the animals do when they walk through the territories. So that's essentially the animal system, with the blood connecting all of the organs. When we go from the heart to the hara, we find ourselves in the digestive system, which is also the vegetative system, which is where there is an internal transport from one side, say from the leaves to the root, and from the root to the leaves within us. And as the digestive system in our body, and then when you go deeper to the holy bone, that's where you then find that we are actually looking at bone cells within our body. So when you look at the build-up of the body, at the basis you have these bone cells. It's like the seed in the earth. In the holy bone, and in the hara you then have the plant in the garden, which then goes up into the heart as the animal in the garden, and then it goes up in the head as the fruit in the garden. And that's actually the metaphor of the Garden of Eden, that the holy bone is the garden of the Garden of Eden. The hara, the vegetative system, is the tree, the vegetative tree in the Garden of Eden. Then the heart, the animal system, is the circulation, which is the serpent, the snake, in the Garden of Eden, and of course the snake is the blood circulation, which is a liquid organ, but which is also collected with all of the solid organs. You have the hollow organ and the solid organs, the transformative organs and the transporting organs. They're all part of that integral system, also connected to the gods of the Olympus, because that's where we redefine our limitations or integration in the environment. And then in the head we have the apple of the tree, the fruit of life experience, the visualization, the memorization in the brain, in the body. So all of that is spread out in different parts of skeleton. So I need to generalize the spine to the skeleton, because then you can see that in that ostrich egg on top of the ivory tower, we have this memory box of sensory perceptions where we can look out on the world and better relate to it. That's also why the head is outside of the body, so that we can have a perspective. Because if you look at the origination of the brain, it was at the place of the solar plexus. And then, as Jaap van der Waal described, in embryology, the solar plexus and the lunar plexus were swapped. So the brain, which was inside in the middle of the body, well protected, came outside so that it could see ahead further and have knowledge from the outside more to be able to help the inside more. So then the head is protected in the ostrich egg, the skull, and the animal is protected in the rib cage. So there is a flexibility, so the breathing in and out is like the tidal waves going in and out of the shore of the coast, but the air going in and out of us, that's where we exchange air with others. And then that actually connects to the snake in the Garden of Eden, connects to the tree of the Garden of Eden, which is the gut rolled around in our belly. And in the belly, you can see that there is no skeleton, only at the back. So the belly is very, very open and only shielded in the back, the vertebral column. And that the column is sort of rooted, anchored in the pelvic cradle, the grail. And that in the grail there is this holy bone. It's the altar of life within us. It's where the first cell comes as the seed, which then produces the plant in the belly, which produces the animal in the ribcage, which produces the fruit in the head. And essentially that already originates in, I mentioned the word already, the notochord. A notochord, think of notes or vibrations, a cord like a rope. The notochord is when the first cell has started to divide, it makes a kind of worm. And the shape of the worm has pulsations built into it. It has the form of oscillation built into it. So as a tuning fork, it shows the ripples of the waves in the system, and that is then the foundation of the body, like a little worm, tip at the one end, tip at the other end. So in a way you could say that the bottom end of it is the first cell when it started, and the tip at the top is also the first cell as it ended up being. So when you look at the first cell, when it exists, basically that is the foundation of the whole body, including later on the skeleton with all its ripples and waves and rhythms and built-in music. But in the first cell, you don't see that yet. You only see the cell, because if you don't look deep enough, you cannot see that all of these ripples of the vertebral column are in a way already implied in, say, the DNA and the circular DNA. And in the first cell, you need to use the kind of thinking of Robert Becker when he was looking at the salamander egg and discovered that there was this electromagnetic field around it which had the shape of the salamander, even though the egg did not have that shape. So the electromagnetic field had the shape of the body what was to be. And likewise, in our first cell, there is this DNA projecting the hologram of the body that is still to be. And then the first cell unfolds in doing so. And when the first cell divides and multiplies, you have two cells. So in a way, in my mind, I look at this notochord as these two cells which came out of the first cell. The one is at the bottom, the other cell is at the top. And then between them, they weave this, in the Vikings they call it the rainbow bridge, the rainbow, the chakras, connecting from the root chakra to the crown chakra, but still in miniature form. And then in the body, it is a bit like what Hans Jenny showed in cymatics and what Klatny showed in the Klatny figures, and what Wasserlauter showed in his water resonant shapes, that in our body, in these cells, when they produce and reproduce, there is this ongoing invisible music which determines what kind of shapes the body takes. And I have talked at other times about this parallel between the currents that you see in the water behind a bridge pillar, which have the shape of the gut, of the lungs, of the kidneys, of the heart, of the penis, of the every part of the body coming by. And so when these cells divide, the notochord is also like a bit like a violin string vibrating. And you can actually see these vibrations on the notochord. So you, in a way, see that it is a standing vibration while the body is being formed. And this notochord, this little worm with these little ripples of vibration, is then also what you see later as the spine. Then you see it as vertebrae, and actually you see that the vertebrae are like little cylinders. They have this wing at the back, they have these two wings at the side, and in a way all of these bones are shaped by the body cells in accordance to that electromagnetic field which is projected from the DNA right from the start, from the first cell. And this is also where I need to see how I can keep the story as it unfolds coherent, because it is so complex and so many people haven't looked into these things, and as a result they don't see them. But for me, when I look at what I see, I can see a lot of things fall together, but I also know that there are still gaps in my understanding, for the simple reason that there is not enough science about what happens in the light field, even though biophotonic research has started to do tremendous work there. Also, there's very little known about the body bioelectromagnetism. Massive amount of work, but scientists have not looked into it simply because the funders didn't want to look people at consciousness. And so all of that information, in the way I ran into it, is sporadic enough to show that everything connects and everything confirms the underlying thoughts. But it is not there yet to simply show that, yes, the electromagnetic field of the cell and the notochord and the fetal and embryonic stages do all connect up and do explain why these forms emerge. And also they explain why the materialization of the body takes place that way, because of course in the end the body, like the universe, is built up by this principle of the zipper of manifestation, which is that in the light field a photon leap will, at the atomic level, trigger an electron leap, which will then, at the molecular level, change the molecular electron currents, which then, in the materials, determine how many electrons can be fixed to keep these molecules in place by having these atoms resonate with their electrons moving in and out, now in a stable configuration. So in the story of the zipper of manifestation, where the photon leap, the electron leaps, the electron oscillation, and the electron bonding are directly related, we see the relation between the quantum field, the atomic field, the molecular field, and the material field. But it is not what we see in the body as the foundation for the materialization of all of the body forms. And as Tatrionics puts it, only the quantum field can form and move materials. So that means that the body materials, including the spine, will have their position, will have their shape, will have their specific form of materialization, because the electromagnetic field has put it in that way. So in the past they called that God and stopped thinking. And nowadays we can call it the tetrionic quantum field, and we can continue thinking. And then, of course, we have this fascinating and wonderful experience that we can suddenly start thinking about the foundation of our own being, which is tricky because we're right in the middle of it. So we must experience it, but yet we know enough of it. But in the body, we can still see that the body cells have this first cell, when it unfolded, created the body cells, which then on the one hand created the body materials, the solid, liquid, gas, and plasma, which the alchemists called earth, water, air, and fire, which we then see as the anatomy, the physiology, the neurocrine system, which is electromagnetic, and the consciousness system, which by definition must be quantum photonic. So the body materialization is actually where, from the jellyfish to the octopus, to the eel, to the whale, things materialize, or things become tangible. From the light field to the electromagnetic, to the chemical, to the physical, the first cell was able to use everything that was available in the body of the mother, and use those materials to solidify a body. It is a bit as if we have a three-dimensional printout, but first it is the information. It's like the ideology blueprint, which then changes or tunes or creates an electromagnetic field, which drives the projected hologram of it's quite much a holographic, a hologram projector, and there's a projected hologram which is electromagnetic, which then organizes the chemistry, which is the flow of the molecules and the flow of the electrons in the molecules and in the atoms in the molecules, which then creates this alchemy, as a result of which the light field from the electromagnetic field through that chemistry in the molecular field can create a solidified body. And the alchemists were very well aware of that it comes from the quintessence. The quintessence is that it is possible for a quantum to flip. And once the quantum flips, then the four elements of alchemy fall in place, because then the quantum field can change the electromagnetic, which can change the chemical, which can change the physical. And the physical, the anatomy, is the consequence of the physiology, the chemistry, which is the consequence of this electromagnetic dynamic, which is the consequence of that light field. So I'm still talking about the spine, but I need to show that the spine is actually simply something that solidified out of that dynamic process, which is basically a projected intent, which was already built in into the DNA of our ancestry, and then in the first cell sort of reaches out in the light field and then projects out in the electromagnetic field, and then uses material around it to orchestrate the dividing and multiplying of the first cell to unfold that projected hologram in the form of our body, which, as the alchemist already said, is the precipitation, the condensation of something which is immaterial. So at the core of this story, there is this need to think from the other end. When I was in medical school, we realized that in the other universities, they had to start with looking at skeletons. And then they had to memorize the notches on the skeleton, because then they had to imagine where the muscles were, as if the muscles were stuck onto the skeletons. And then they had to realize where the organs were, as if the muscles were walking the organs around. And then they could actually look into the neurocrine system, as if that was a consequence of the bones carrying the muscles, carrying the organs, and then having some consciousness. But once you see it's the other way around, there is this cell which can go into this liquid gel state, the intelligent gel transforming its form depending on what kind of information it has. And then as a result, it can go into this, transformative electromagnetic dynamic. So as a transistor, it can change the electric flow around it and thereby reorganize the electric flow within it, which is also something which you can see more in balance in the liquid crystal form, which is where it can sort of solidify or desolidify depending on what the information field is. As a result, it can then become piezoelectric. It can be so solid that if you squeeze it, electrons can come out, or if you push in electrons, it will expand and change its shape accordingly. So we cannot start thinking of the body as a skeleton with muscles, with organs, with, a neurocrine system. We must think of it the other way around. There is a form of consciousness associated with that first cell. It will create an electromagnetic field which interacts with the environment of the mother body and of the materials, nutrients which are in there, and then uses that to create a physiology, a flow, a process. And in that process flow, you can then see that the body forms. And it's only recently that I ran into this guy explaining how the caterpillar turns into the butterfly. And he said that, well, what they have now looked into is that in the caterpillar there are butterfly cells, but the caterpillar cells eat up the butterfly cells, and then more butterfly cells form, and they start to grow together more. They're still being eaten up, but at some point they can no longer be eaten up, and instead the butterfly cells eat up the caterpillar cells. That is not cells eating each other, but that is a program in cells explaining the cells how to connect differently. And in our body we have that in a different way, but the same dynamic, that the cells know when they need to materialize things, or when they need to make things fluid, or when they need to actually dissolve them, or when they need to actually let them decay. Which they then call apoptosis, the dying of the system so that it can fall apart. But those are just simply the elements of alchemy, where a light, air, water, and earth are the different degrees of solidification from the quantum field to the atomic, to the molecular, to the material. And all of that takes place in the formation of the body, And as you probably know, the hardest bone in the body is the otolith. It's the little bone in the ear, because that bone works with very high frequencies. So it must not shatter apart as a result of frequency. So in that sense, our body is an interplay with frequencies always at all levels. And in being connected to those frequencies, the body is always in an interplay with it. That comes back to the story of the notochord. That in the notochord we can see that all of the vibrations are taking shape in the materials, even though we cannot see the vibrations themselves. We can see, let's call it the vibrating violin string, without seeing the violin. Superstring theory tried to make sense out of that, and tetrionics actually later on succeeded in doing that. So I need this whole expose around the spine to show that when we are talking about the spine, we are talking about one of the vibrations of one of the organs, of one of the dynamics of the embryology development of our living body, the first cell unfolding itself. And as Darcy Thompson showed, all of the bodies of all of the animals are topologically related. He basically drew a herring on a piece of rubber, like a balloon, and then stretched it one way and it turned into an eel, stretched it the other way, it turns out into a boxfish, stretched it another way, you end up with a moonfish, and so on. But from the topology, it is simply the same process, which works in a different way by being stretched in a different way. They use the same principle in designing cartoon trees using a computer algorithm. So if you have the fir tree, or if you have the oak tree, or if you have the palm tree, basically these are variations, let's say different kind of steps in a fractal, as a result of which it takes the one form which is more spiky versus the other which is more rounded. Again, the principle is there, same as Darcy Thompson. You stretch it a bit one way, stretch it a bit the other way, pace it a bit one way, pace it a bit the other way, energize it a bit one way, energize it a bit the other way, and all of these different forms come out. And in that way, you can then see that for us, the notochord builds our body, but for insects, the insect then has the antenna, which is part of its, let's say, spinal cord system or spine system. The beetles with their carapaces, they have their antennae on the surface of the body. There too, it's all about this connection of the physical shape to the vibrations. Again, as I mentioned for the notochord, it's built into the system. And then you have all these different animal forms and life forms with all of their different systems, and you can see that the jellyfish doesn't need a spine, but the pattern of the spine is there. If you look at the jellyfish, you see this wonderful, beautiful geometry connected to this marvelous harmonic pulsation of the oscillation. So you can see that the vibration, which is at the basis of the shape, again, think of these vortices behind the pillar of the bridge. You can see that this pulsation is actually the shape of the jellyfish. And in that way, all of the shapes of the animals are a specific kind of antenna able to interact with the vibrations of the universe in a specific way. So they all tune into a specific size or set or type of vibration. And in their body, the body, like a sitar or a violin, it is the resonator to, in the best way possible, capture those kind of waves and serve those waves, so that every animal form in its way is a resonator or a tuned resonator for vibrations in the universe. Of course, it becomes much simpler when we look at the earlier versions of those animals, when things are not so complex. When you look at the microbes, the virus, the fungus, and the spores, then with the work of Gaston Nasson in mind, he showed that these transform into each other. So the spore can become a fungus can become a virus, the virus can become a microbe, and the other way around. And then Luc Montagnier actually showed that the T cells in our immune system and the microbes in nature, they can swap between each other as well. So there is this whole interconnectedness at that cellular level, where that principle of the jellyfish pulsing in the ocean in the rhythm of the shape that it has is actually already built in the rhythms and the shape in the microbes, which is built in the rhythm and the shape of the virus. That the virus is in a way like a cluster of fungus, which is based on the fungus, which is like a fractal tree of connecting up one after the other, or the one next to each other, which is based on the spore. So the spore is in that sense the foundation of our spine. And then the fungus puts one spore next to each other. It can make this chain of different cells next to each other. And as a concatenation, like a chain, then builds up, and then they can actually feed into each other. So at the tip of the one, you have the exit of the other. So they can pass on information, they can pass on nutrients. In plants, you have the same later on, that the nutrients from the root can go to the next cell, to the next cell, to the next cell, all the way up till they become perfume in the flower. So that's already built up at a fungal level. And then at the viral level, essentially it is as if you have a couple of types of fungi connecting up together, at least from the perspective of the antenna function and from the perspective of the information integration function. So the fungus has a kind of range of dynamics that it can work with. Fungus are also very much associated with intelligence, intellect, capacity, the ability to adapt into the environment, but also the ability to adapt the environment. So that is where Paul Stamets was able to use fungus to digest oil slicks, because the fungus was able to learn how to do that. And then a virus is simply a fungus with the capacity to think different ways, to connect different kind of signals, to integrate different kind of pulsations, and is in a way a switchboard, like a switch in a railway system, so that you can go from one track to the other, from one domain to the other. And then in the microbe, you can see that internalized in a little oil drop, as Lynn Margulis then describes it. And then you can see that forms the basis of the microbes. The earth, water, air, and fire element microbes come together to form the eukaryote cell, as Lynn Margulis described. And that is where we can then see that everything that happened at the microbial and fungal and viral level is at the foundation of this spine system, and that the spine system is our antenna in our body, and in our body has its associated electromagnetic antenna field, which is associated also with all of the connective tissues. All of the connective tissues, as Björn Nordenström described, is a conductor for the electromagnetic currents. All of the blood vessels, all of the lymph vessels, all of the organs are part of that electromagnetic circulation. So our body as a whole is like a motherboard in a computer, in which all of these electromagnetic signals can be filtered, can be sorted, can be processed, can be timelined, so that our body as a whole becomes a supercomputer, which can filter all of that information simply because it is projected from that first cell to have that capacity to connect different qualities or different capabilities of vibrations in the same way as the spore, the fungus, the virus, and the microbes can connect to each other in the same way as the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, and the skin can capture vibrations and complement each other in the same way as the heart, the liver, the kidneys, the lungs, the guts, the glands complement and connect each other and together have this integrity integration around the blood flow, which brings us back to this story of the Garden of Eden, that there is the flower pot in the grail in the pelvis. There is the tree of life, the gut system in our hara. There is the snake, the circulation, the heart and the organs, the animal system in the heart, the chest area. And then there's the fruit of all of that coming it together as the apple in our head, which then integrates it. But that also means that the spine, which then connects all of these four areas, so the spine connects the pelvis to the rib cage, to the skull, and the spine in a way is out of the way for the gut, but sort of keeps the pelvis and the ribs and the head apart. And then you can see that the spine is connected to all of these functions in the body, and the spine is necessary to keep all of these functions in the body connected. And people who start to stoop, curve their spines, they can no longer have the proper electromagnetism. They no longer have the breathing space for their body to open and interact and interchange and keep its electromagnetism and its radio wave processing functional. And the spine in that sense is then also, again, that notochord had the vibration of the string of the sitar to keep the body in place. And actually, at some point, I realized that the sitar is a very good example of what we see in the body. So in the sitar, you have this calabash at the one end, that's the skull. You have the other end with this triangle where the strings are attached. That is the sacrum. And then the stick of the sitar needs to keep those at a distance so that the strings can vibrate. So in that sense, the spine needs to keep everything apart so that the body can vibrate. And when you look at the spine and the way the spine is built, it is this paradox that on the one hand, you have all of these muscles, has small muscles connecting the one vertebra to the next, a bit larger muscles connecting one vertebra to the next yonder. So they skip one vertebra and connect it to vertebrae on one side and the other side. And there are muscles which go even further. There are muscles which go all the way from the top to the bottom and so on. And all of these muscles know what they're doing. And all of them are able to pull and push the spine in any which way that you want to go. And it is their flexibility that keeps the spine moving. But then, of course, muscles can contract. So how is it that the spine can grow? Part of that is seen in the bones in the body that you need to have the tension on the bone to create the electromagnetic field for the bone cells to be able to grow and to put the calcium aspartate, the bone material, in its position. And then it grows against the tension of the muscle. So people need to walk, they need to have muscle tension so that their bones can grow and that their spine can be in place. So people need to have their upright posture for the organs to be able to function, and for the brain to be able to function, and for the circulation to be able to function, because the spine is actually the space keeper in the body for all of these tensions, and it in that way opposes the contractions which you see in the muscles of the body by creating an expansion of the growth of the body. And that is double-sided, because on the one hand there is this whole electromagnetic field associated with the spine, and I met some people in the United States who actually used a radio wave detector, and by using the radio wave detector they could measure the amount of electromagnetic field force dynamic for every vertebra of the spine, and by knowing that they could have the whole timeline of what kind of experiences somebody had and what kind of traumatic experiences people had, because that part of the body had the vibrations in the bone structure or around the bone structure were not integrated. So that is where then localized vibrations build up. I call that the health system in other texts. So these local vibrations then interfere with the rest of it, and unless people discharge these charges, they create a cacophony in the harmony of the body. And when you realize that the spine, in that sense, is also the memory of your whole life, from the notochord, actually from the first cell, from the ancestors onward, then you can see that the spine is actually an antenna with an electromagnetic field around it, with the memories around it, with the undissolved memories around it, and all of these determine how the body can function. Because if there is a charge field, then the muscles around the spine cannot function properly. The tensions on the bone will not be proper. The growth of that bone will not be proper. And the curvature or the bone densification will locally not be proper. So when you connect that understanding to what the neurologist and the osteopath look at, they only see the bone structure, that's for the osteopath, or they see the nerves within that bone structure for the neurologist, but they do not look at the way the information in the neural system and the buildup of the bones by the bone cells are actually interrelated. So they miss out two parts of the story. They miss out the electromagnetic field, and they miss out that it is all the cells doing it. So even when you look at the spine, you're still looking at the cell being in the universe, this electromagnetic field of vibration, and dealing with it in one way or the other. So that is where the whole story then actually would need to go many levels deeper, because we do know that the computer has currents and programs running into the hardware. We do know that the body is a supercomputer. We do know that the consciousness actually builds the body, because we do know that the DNA projects the hologram, and that this first zygote cell, the zygote, unfolds accordingly. And we do know that around cells, between the cells, in the cells, there is this electromagnetic field dynamic based on the photon field, which has all of the cells interact, but which also has all of the bones interact, has all of the organs interact, has all of the liquids in the body interact. So our body as a whole is a motherboard for a highly advanced four-dimensional computer process programming, in which the interactions actually produce the body. So the software produces the hardware. And when the medical doctors turn that around, of course they can only treat the symptoms, because they see that the hardware changes, but they do not see why it changed. They can try to fix the materials, but they do not undo the reason why the body cells started to do things differently. So repairing the body without repairing the electromagnetic field is just not it. And once you understand this, then you can also understand that the spine, just like every bone, just like every capsule, and Jaap van der Waal showed that the bone, the capsule, the muscles, and the cells, they are one integral system. They're all interconnected. So when you look at the spine, you need to see that it's connected to the limbs, as the osteopaths do. When you look at the spine, you need to look at the way the one vertebra connects to the other and how that relates to local muscle tensions, like the chiropractors do. And then once you see that the spine has these, say, fossilized charge fields in and around it, and that people sometimes can have tension in their body so much. I have massaged people where around their shoulders, for example, the muscles have held tensions so much that actually within their muscles they started to create bone structures. When you massage, you can hear the crystallizations break of these bones which should not be there, but which came there because the muscles became rigidized. They became quite literally fossilized. And once you start to understand that interplay, then you realize that the spine very much needs to be this rigid, fossilized structure, which you can find centuries later, because the cells have built it to be able to withstand pressure and withstand, be inert in vibrations, so also withstand time. And at that level, then you have a very different understanding of the spine, because then you can see that the spine is an antenna. It is a conductor of light. It is a capacitor and a resonator for the electromagnetic field. As a result, it is a tuning fork for the body chemistry. And as a consequence, it can restabilize itself. It can redefine its anatomy and its inertia, its rigidity. So I think I'd like to bring this to some kind of understanding or conclusion. First bit is that what I've been addressing now is only a very superficial part of the story. That there's so much more, because the light field needs to be in there, the electromagnetic need to be in there, and we don't have enough with just the chemistry and the physics. Second part of it is that when we look at the spine, we need to see that the spine is simply the alchemy going from the light to the electromagnetic to the chemical to the physical, that everything physical in the body is a product of a process which has been made stable in time, and that we need to look at every part of the body as, let's say, as a kind of instrument in an orchestra. All of them need to be there, all of them need to be in their specific form in a specific way, just as the body materials are piezoelectric, liquid crystal, transistor, and intelligent gel. And just as in the same way, the molecules are proteins, enzymes, hormones, and pigments. It's the earth, water, air, and fire, or the material, molecular, electromagnetic, and photonic aspect of our body. They're always interwoven. They always need to be seen together. So from that perspective, then, the spine is part of the hardware of the computer, but as a tuning fork and as an antenna, it is actually a calibrator in space and time for the stability of the body. So we cannot think of the spine as rigid or fixed. We need to realize that it is being recreated all the time, and that the body cells, by the electromagnetic field, keep on building, rebuilding the spine and the bones and the organs and the capsules and everything in our body. So that with that understanding, we then realize that the spine is actually an integral part of the body, just like everything else. And as the body as a whole is a hologram, the spine too is a part of the hologram, and the spine gives a transection of the buildup of the body. And as I mentioned, if you understand how you can measure the electromagnetic field, you can also know the history and the memory of the body. And in that sense, then we need to understand that the spine is a resonator, a tuner, and like everything else in the body, an essential part, a piece in the puzzle that can tell the story. But we do need to understand always that when we talk about a piece in the puzzle, basically it is one part of the photograph. But when we talk about a piece in the puzzle in the body, it is one cell in a hologram. And in the hologram, the pixel has the whole picture. And every organ has the picture of the body as a whole. Every cell has the DNA which the whole body has. And every cell has one part of that hologram. And that also is something which I learned from astrology. Astrology, normally they look at it in the way of you go from Aries around to Pisces. If you understand astrology, you can actually see it starts with Aquarius, which is a seed in the soil. Then in Pisces, the seeds start to grow, germinate under the soil. In Aries, the first leaf comes up. In Taurus, you can actually put the seedling in a pot. Then in Gemini, you can put it out into the garden, which is where it is in Cancer. And then in Libra, in Virgo, you can see that it starts to ripen. You can start that it reflects the fruit starts to reflect the tree. And then in Libra, you see that it starts to ripen in this environment. And Scorpio, you have it as ripe or rot, or you take it away somewhere else because you want to eat it or plant it, which you do in Sagittarius. And then in Capricorn, it is planted where you want it. It goes back into the soil. So that is, say, from seed to plant to flower to fruit back into the soil. The cycle which most people look at astrology. But there's the other direction of astrology, that you have the hologram, and within the hologram you start to discern different parts, and within the different parts you can then start to discern different connections, and within the connections you can then start to discern different knotting points, connection points. And then you see that the point is always the whole. And in the body we are dealing with that. So every part in the body is a knot in the whole hologram. And then the spine and all of this, the skeleton, the muscle skeleton, the organ skeleton, the neural skeleton, they all have their story to tell, but they're all a part of the story. And we cannot take the parts apart. As our organ transplant forgets that the organ is also the information, the wisdom, the knowledge of the body. And the Chinese are very well aware of that, and they call it the Shen. The spirit is transplanted as well. So you cannot look at the body without having the information field, which is part of the body, associated with the body. So with these different aspects of looking at the spine, as looking at the body, as looking at the first seed unfolding, as also looking at humanity forming your first cell, then the spine has so much more story to tell. And that's also what I said at the start. I need to carefully unfold this, because in unfolding you can see the complexity, but by the complexity you cannot yet understand the integrity. You cannot really grasp how everything is connected and interconnected, and that every part echoes, represents, reflects the whole, and is in that sense the whole. So that is then the story of the spine as I look at it. Your question, however, was more specifically about the spine as a structural element and as a something where people can have conflict with compressed discs or compressed nerves or how trauma afflictions to the spine. And then, as I mentioned earlier, if you look at it from the perspective of the neurologist or the osteopath, you miss out on seeing the rest of the story, which the chiropractor and the osteopath can add, which is that whatever happens in the spine takes place because there is an information field which told the cells to do just that. And if there is something in the spine or in the body which is not in happy, healthy harmony, then it is because something got stuck, a memory got stuck in the body. That's a story in itself. And you need to get that memory unstuck so that the cells again can work with the, as it is called, the original blueprint. And from that original blueprint then can reproject and recreate and rebuild the body or the spine. And if you want to have a beautiful story on that, talk with Richard Dury, who at some point had a bone healer working with his bone cells and actually rebuilding the bone by, let's say, making it liquid again, by having the electromagnetism change the structure of what the bone was doing, because the cells understood that something else was necessary. And then rebuilding the original blueprint from the spine in that manner. There are many of those stories, but you can only find those if you look for them. That means that you need to stop thinking about the spine as physical or as simply a pipeline for nerves. You need to understand that the spine, like the body, is a printout which has been created by the body cells, which are expressing the implied inherent DNA blueprint. So, yeah, interesting question. So much more to say, but I'll leave it at this for now. Thank you.